And it is the Lombardi Line here on a Monday from both here in Las Vegas, Nevada, at our South Point Sportsbook Studios, as well as on the East Coast with Michael Lombardi himself joining us here on a Monday. I am Ben Wilson. Stephanie Kamerschek is our producer. And I'll welcome in Michael here as well. Follow him at M. Lombardi NFL. As Michael, we are basically in to countdown season, essentially. That's the time of year we're in here. 45 days to the start of the NFL season with week one. We're also, I know you will appreciate this, 68 days until the Many Saints of Newark premiere. So I don't know which one you're more excited about, Michael, but both of those are exciting countdowns going on right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ben. It's great to meet you via the show here, and welcome to the Lombardi Line. You know, I'm excited for Many Saints of Newark, but the NFL season, there's nothing better. And I think we have 45 days to kind of see all the stuff we've been talking about, how it's all going to work out, pan out, with a lot of things going on behind the scenes, especially with some of the players who have been vaccinated testing positive, and some of the players who won't get vaccinated who are going to test positive.
It is sort of galling in a sense, jarring as well, the fact that we are 45 days away. There are still so many unknowns around the league right now. We'll get into some of the top headlines, but I think the biggest one, Michael, that came out late on Friday night, and so this will be the first time for our weekday audience getting to see you give your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation, but the fact that we have two marquee quarterbacks whose futures are still very much up in the air as we get ready for the NFL season. So let's start with the Rodgers situation, where we saw the SI article on Friday night that where all the sports books now, we've seen this both at BetMGM and for a multitude of sports books around the market, take out all Packers related futures, whether that's win totals, division odds, some is going far as to take down NFC odds, with the thought that he is going to announce a potential retirement of some sorts. Might be the Carson Palmer-esque type retirement, trying to force a trade at some point this week. So as we think about the potential ramifications for that in the betting market, Michael, first off, what are your thoughts on this, as we've had obviously a whole offseason to kind of dissect what will actually happen in Green Bay, but now with this latest news, what do you think ends up actually happening here, if anything, this week?
Well, let's just deal, Ben, with what we know, right? So Aaron Rodgers had an ability on August the 3rd to be part of COVID and basically not play this season without triggering any of his signing bonus money back, which tells you he doesn't want to retire. If he wanted to retire, then he could have done that, triggered that, sat out this year, and then made a decision about coming back to play the next year without having to get letters from the league office or from the Packers saying, please refund us our signing bonus money. Because when you opted out, you told your contract until next season, and therefore he wouldn't have to do it. So retirement really isn't his future. Because he's in the gym, he's working out, and he didn't file for that COVID relief. So, therefore, he wants to play. Now, this is all Dave Dunn manipulation. The agent who started his career working for Lee Steinberg. This is Lee Steinberg textbook 101. How to manipulate the media, how to create a story in the media to get what you want. And you just cited it, and Dunn so proud that you did, because, you know, he wants to go back to the Carson Palmer, who he orchestrated that trade with Mike Brown to get him to the Raiders, you know, where he sat out and he was able to do that. This is going to be a little bit different. This is going to be a little bit different because in my conversations with people in Green Bay, they're not inclined to trade him at all. And if they were inclined to trade him, it would be in January, when they would be able to say in a quantified manner, we're getting pick number 3, which translates to these players, pick number 20, which translates to these players, and then future draft picks. When you deal him today to, say, Denver, you've just made Denver a legitimate Super Bowl contending team, a team that could beat Kansas City, a team with Aaron Rodgers that's more talented than Kansas City. I know I say that and people would laugh, but they're more talented all over the field. If you put them on that team, you're picking 29, 30, 31, maybe picking 32. I don't know. Yeah. You put them on that team. Would you trade them for a bottom of the first round pick? Absolutely not. So you have to wait. You have to wait, and by waiting, you eliminate Dunn's leverage. You eliminate his propaganda campaign that he's so brilliant at extending.
And you think about it, too. You mentioned this campaign going on, and we also saw another report as well, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, talking about that at least one team, you know, in quotation marks, has basically said Rodgers is believed to have wanted somewhere in the neighborhood, just looking down to make sure I have this right, $90 million guaranteed over 2 years. We think about the contract right now he's in, Michael, on the books for 2021, would be $14.7 million for his base, $33 million guaranteed this year with the option after 2021. His contract could potentially keep him in Green Bay through through 2023. I'm assuming, is that in that same mold as well? Like, you're thinking about where he's at right now. Overall, if you just break it down the next 3 years, it's about $31.5 million per season if you just factor in all the different guaranteed monies here. And we're saying, okay, 90 guaranteed over 2 years. That definitely, at least to me, Michael, and you would know better with your many years of experience in the NFL, that seems like agent speak if there ever was one, and just trying to continue that push for leverage. Is that kind of your same read on that story we saw from Pro Football Talk here as well over the weekend?
Oh, I think there's no doubt. Look, they've offered him to make him the highest paid player in football. Well, that would be $45 million a year, because that's what Mahomes makes. So say we pay him 46, you know, and then if you go 2 years out at 46 and 46, now you're at $92 million. And one thing you know about a quarterback is you can guarantee the whole thing, because you're not cutting Aaron Rodgers. You know, if he gets hurt, you got to pay it. So what's the sense? Just matter, you might as well guarantee it. The guarantee, that number doesn't shock me. That number tells you he wants to be in the same category as Mahomes, which Bob McGinn 2 months earlier reported on The Athletic that they offered Rodgers to make him the highest paid player in football. They offered to adjust his contract. He said no. He said no. So we've got many variations of the story. But, you know, as Johnny Sack said on The Sopranos, what, more about the money? It's always about the money, right? And I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, he can complain about Brian Gutekunst, which is fine. Poor Brian. I mean, he's sitting there taking all the bullets. I mean, he's done nothing wrong other than try to do the best that he can at his job. Mark Murphy's the president of the team. He's the one who should be taking the bullets, because it's his job as the de facto owner to kind of make sure these problems don't creep up. And look, Rodgers has always had this kind of independent streak. I mean, he's never really had tremendous relationships with a lot of the ex-players. We've seen it. He is a uniquely talented player, uniquely talented. I mean, the guy throws so many touchdown passes and protects the football. But, you know, I think that he's forced their hand, and if the Packers are strong, which they will be because they don't have an owner coming in there reading the newspaper, they'll wait until January to decide.
Yes, Steph, our producer behind the glass, I'm just thinking, you know, in my head here, Michael, can we get like a Johnny Sack Photoshop superimposed on a number 12 green and gold jersey? That's an
image. I mean, wouldn't that be perfect? I mean, it's always about the money. What? The money? You know? I mean, the money? Come on, you know? So it's so perfect. I think that, you know, this Aaron Rodgers story, look, I don't know, where does he want to go? He mentioned Las Vegas. He mentioned Denver. Those were the teams he wanted to go to. So, look, I think that the Green Bay's, do you want to have on your legacy that you traded Aaron Rodgers? I don't. Now, after the season's over and he's missed football, maybe I'll consider that, because he's not going to play, so maybe I'll consider that. But I'm going to let the system help me as much as I possibly can. The system that was voted on by the players, the system that was agreed to by the players, and the owners, the players union, it's been collectively bargained that I'm going to use the $50,000 a day fines. Why do you think Deshaun Watson's showing up? Deshaun Watson showed up, and I predicted this a month ago. Deshaun Watson was always coming to camp because he had no other choice. He had to come to camp because he needs to start the process of what the league is going to do with his civil suit. Are they going to suspend him? Are they going to table it for a year? What are they going to do? What's their tolerance based on their investigation? Because they've been investigating it. So we need to find that out. And then it also puts the onus back on the Houston Texans to say, are you going to trade him or are you not? Now, there's a report out today that they're interested in trading him for 3 number ones, 2 players, a proven player, and a couple second-round picks. Great. I mean, that's awesome. You know, I mean, that's great. But who's paying that unless they know what they're getting in terms of the suspension, in terms of where this thing's going with the civil suits? That's a little bit more of a challenging question.
I'll just follow up with you on that, Michael. Then we'll circle back to what the actual NFC North odds are, at least for the books that are still offering him them right now, at least. We'll do that here in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, that NFL Network report from Tom Pelissero, I couldn't help but laugh seeing that, because it's like, oh yeah, no duh, they would be willing to take trade him for a massive return coming back, 3 first-round drafts. Picks in exchange for the QB. Of course, you know, here we are. We've had this whole offseason saga around him, and we have the pending investigation going on with Watson. So you make the point that it should have always been expected that he would have come out to training camp. With how much, though, the Texans, just as a front office in general, have been in turmoil with in general turnover and trying to figure out what they're actually planning, what does it say about the fact that they're coming out finally now after basically denying any desires to move him at all and saying, oh yeah, you know what, we actually will trade for 3 first rounders right on the eve of training camp, with that finally coming out?
You know, I think I think that the Texans are in a position where they're dealing with, if they can get somebody to take a problem off their hands. Before, when they were saying they weren't trading them, we didn't have the civil suits. That problem wasn't there. Once the civil suit showed up, then all of a sudden it became a problem. And if somebody's willing to trade you three number ones, two number twos, and a proven player to inherit your problem, you might want to think about doing that because you're taking the problem on. Now, do I think some team would do that? I think Denver's going to be in play for him tremendously. I know he wants to play in Denver. I think Carolina's going to be in play for him. I know Philadelphia, you know, Howard Eskin reported last week. We talked about it, the radio host on WIP here in Philadelphia. He talked about it. It's a 90% chance that he's coming to Philly. We shall see.
And you think about
it. We shall see. Yeah, but yeah. I can't imagine, though, Ben, I can't imagine anybody's going to take on Deshaun unless they really know what's going to happen with those 22 civil suits. This isn't one civil suit. This is 22 of them. 22 of them. What's the league going to do about that?
Yeah, I think that's a question we're all trying to figure out what will happen just with the pure volume of that, as you allude to, Mike. But I think what this all kind of gets back to in general, as bettors now, with we're inside that 2-month window to the start of the season, we'll have the Hall of Fame game. I think it's a week from Sunday. So, like, if people want to start making bets and getting their futures action in. But what this all comes back to is, at least my take is, it's just irresponsible to make plays right now when you have so little knowledge of exactly what will happen as far as a shakeout when you're talking about two top quarterbacks in the league here. And so as it lets us circle back to the NFC North, it's sort of why we saw all these books take down most of their NFC futures odds, especially those in the NFC North. One book, at least here in town at Circa, where our other VSiN studio is here in Las Vegas, they did repost these numbers. They had the Vikings, they hung them as the new favorites to win the NFC North, plus 125, moved the Packers down from a slight favorite. They were, by the way, at BetMGM minus 120, the Packers, before this report came out Friday. Packers moved to plus 190 there at Circa, Bears 345, and the Lions greater than 15-1. Can you advocate at this point, Michael, making a play on any of that when you just think about still the uncertainty that we've got going on? Does that move also? Does that make sense to you, at least from Circa's perspective?
You know, I don't have any faith in the Packers. I really don't if Rodgers is gone. I mean, just let's take his turnover takeaway. What do you have, 42 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year? I mean, one of the things you get with Aaron Rodgers is he doesn't lose the game. He also wins the game with some of the throws he makes. But what he doesn't do is he doesn't turn the ball over and lose the game before you even start, which is huge in the NFL. And if you put Jordan Love there, he's going to lose some games before they start. So I have no confidence. And then you're asking me to have confidence in Matt LaFleur. And I've been critical of Matt LaFleur since the day he got the job. Like, I didn't understand how Matt LaFleur became a head coach in the NFL. In a game against the Baltimore Ravens in Tennessee, when he was the offensive coordinator, he went 0 for 10 on third down against Don Martindale's defense. Like, that's what you measure your offensive coordinator by. Can he attack that team? The Ravens held 0 for 10 on third down. You know, so, like, how are you getting this job? Like, what have you done? And that offense, by the way, Ben, in Tennessee that he coached, I think it was ranked 28th in the NFL at the time he got the head coaching job. So, like, I don't know. Other than he was in the same meeting room with Sean McVay, which I guess goes for a long, long way. I don't know. I mean, it must. But I have no faith that LaFleur is going to be the head coach of a team, run the defense, run the offense, run the kicking game, get Joe Barry lined up, make sure he's doing what he has to do, call a really good game, run the offense, make sure Jordan Love's developing and growing, and deal with Devontae Parker, who we haven't talked about, and his unhappiness. I mean, I think this is an overwhelming challenge for him.
48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions last year for Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sorry, I cheated him out of 6. I'm sorry, yeah.
It's okay. And with you mentioned as well the Devontae Adams news kind of hanging over this organization as well. And so that's kind of the follow-up, too. If it is Jordan Love, as far as a win total, my question here, like thinking about where you would set this, keeping in mind, too, we go back to 2008, Michael, and it was totally different circumstances where Rodgers had been in the system for 3 years. We had seen him in some big game scenarios. He came in that 2007 game against the Cowboys when Favre got injured, and we at least had some data on him being at least a serviceable NFL quarterback coming in. That was a Packers team coming off an NFC championship game loss. just like they are this year. And that season, they went 6-10, and it was a struggle throughout the season. So given that, not to just make the blanket comparison, because as we've talked about, it's completely different with Jordan Love taking, presumably, if it is the case, his first NFL snaps if Rodgers is not there. What sort of win total would you set this Packers team at, one that was at least pre-news and before it was taken off the board, in that 9.5 to 10 range?
I think I would go 6.5, 7. I think I'd go 7. I don't know where they're going to get it from. I mean, first of all, he never turned the ball over, so you're going to have more. That number's changing. No matter who you play at quarterback, they have to play Jordan Love. Could you imagine if they tried to start Blake Bortles after they picked Jordan Love in the first round and really started this whole process of upsetting Aaron Rodgers? They have to start Blake Bortles if Rodgers doesn't. They have to start Love if Rodgers. And there's going to be some growing pains with that. And it's going to take some time. And he's going to make mistakes. And those mistakes are going to put the onus on his defense, which hasn't been great. And they've always played from in front. So I think 7's the magic number there.
Yeah, I would tend to lean under that. Michael, I'm a Wisconsin native, so look, it's been a good run. I'll say that. I mean, look, Favre, Rodgers, it's been very few games having
to suffer. Just two Super Bowls, though. Don't you feel cheated? Just two Super Bowls with those legends?
Look, the Milwaukee Bucks just won an NBA title, so maybe that makes up for a little bit. But yes, I do, in a sense. Speaking of the NBA, by the way, and those countdowns we're talking about, NBA draft is a few days away. We'll get some thoughts from Michael on that, with that coming up on Thursday. We'll talk about that next as we're just getting started right here on the Lombardi Line. Football season just around the corner. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is the Lombardi Line on a Monday from both Las Vegas and the East Coast. I'm Ben Wilson. Stephanie Kamerschek, again, our outstanding producer behind the glass. Michael Lombardi with us on the East Coast. We're talking a lot of NFL today, but also coming up on Thursday, it is the NBA draft. It will be very interesting to see all the betting angles that we have for that, Michael, considering how lucrative of an NFL draft it was for betting. I don't know, even though you're a longtime NFL executive, you're still dialed into some of your NBA circles there, Michael. So what are you hearing as we get set here for the NBA draft in just a couple days' time?
Well, you know, I think there's always a lot of intrigue in the NBA draft that we don't, as viewers, know what's going on. I mean, there's always the conversation that players say they want to play for a team, but then their agents are telling the team they have no interest in playing for it. And I do think, from talking to people in the league, that this Jalen Green kid has really become a very popular guy. And the Pistons have spent time with Cade Cunningham, and all indications seem to be that Cunningham will continue to be the first overall pick. But there is some conversation that Cunningham has become a vegan. He's lost a lot of weight. His workouts haven't been as sharp. He's changed his shot just a tad. So all those things kind of lend you to think that maybe something's changing. And Jalen Green has really been someone that's really caught the eye of a lot of NBA teams. So the Cavs don't want to take a point guard. They don't want to take Suggs, who I think happens to be one of the best players in this draft. You know, does Mobley want to play in Cleveland? I think that remains to be seen. So I think there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on. You know, Ben, my two favorite players in this draft by far are Jalen Suggs and Davion Mitchell. I think those two guys are by far my two favorite. You know, I would take a shot at 14-1 on Jalen Green being the first pick overall. I would just, to me, you know, I'm not saying put $1,000 on it. I'd put $10 on it. You know, but I put beer money on it. I put some pizza money on it because you just never know, especially with some of the rumblings that are going on around the league.
Yeah, no, that is so interesting, too, because you think about, like, remember the odds NFL draft Trevor Lawrence. So they were actually shorter for him to be the first pick in the -2500 range. And that was basically considered, throughout league-wide as an absolute guarantee going to Jacksonville. We showed a moment ago at BetMGM Cunningham -5000 to go number one. The interesting thing, too, you think about it from the behind-the-scenes perspective as well, and the one thing that, as I would assume, Michael, made these odds so high on Cunningham is the fact that he has openly said how much he wants to be in Detroit, something that, you know, let's be honest, we've not seen a ton of top guys over the years actually say. So you have to think that factors in a little bit as well. But, you know, the other thing, too, we saw in the NFL draft how pick three was really where things started, where that was the one pick we just didn't entirely know what was going to happen. One and two were pretty well mapped out. And so if you're thinking about betting these from the exact player odds from the first, second, third, fourth overall pick that you obviously have the options to do. Most books offer the exact outcome, 1, 2, 3, 4. Does this change in your mind at all, just your willingness to go in on bets like that when you think there is such a, even if it is a small, but you think a real possibility that there could be a shakeup here at the top?
I just keep hearing things. And obviously before a draft, you know, there's always conversations that agent put out, you know, does Mobley want to play in Cleveland? Will Cleveland go with Mobley whether he wants to play there or not? Or is agents telling him? I think that's the concern. And I think Suggs is an easy pick for the Toronto Raptors who are going to, you know, Kyle Lowry walks, you put Suggs in there, and all of a sudden you've got a good young player. So, you know, I know Cleveland likes Suggs, but they don't want to get away from the two guys that they put a lot of draft capital in terms of Garland and Sexton. So I think it would be. I think you got to play around with it a little bit. If it goes off like you think it would, it never happens that way. And I think this week, Ben, is going to be a fun week because I think you're going to start to see some movement. I think we'll see some trades. You'll see the free agent class isn't a great free agent class, so I think you're going to see a lot of trades, and you've got a bunch of teams that are over the cap and over at the luxury tax that are not very good, and they're going to start dumping players.
And speaking, too, of those, you know, being in the third pick, where sometimes things can start to happen in a pretty significant way. A lot of thought, too, that maybe a team like Oklahoma City could be willing to trade up. Cleveland at number three, just a franchise without a lot of identity right now. They don't seem to have a clear plan. So who knows? That's one of those I could see. If there's a prop on, like, if you could find, will Cleveland actually stay at the number three pick to bet the no? I'd actually kind of be interested in that because I think we could start to see a lot of movement once we get past the first two picks, at least in the draft on Thursday. When we come back, we're going to go back out to the East Coast, not only with Michael, but our friends at the Borgata. Thomas Gable joins us next right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Betting guides are coming soon, and there is no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the Lombardi Line on a Monday morning here on the West Coast, early afternoon on the East Coast, back with Michael Lombardi. I'm Ben Wilson as we welcome in now, sticking on the East Coast, Thomas Gable, our good friend, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata, joining us now over the phone to give us some of his thoughts on the weekend that was, of course, the big story, a big upset, especially from the betting standpoint. USA men's basketball in the Olympics. We were just talking, Thomas, some NBA draft stuff here in our last block, but men's hoops, 12-point favorite to France. They lose outright in a game early Sunday morning. For those of us on the West Coast, probably a good thing if you didn't try and wake up early and watch that, because you would have been sorely disappointed. And now they'll turn around tomorrow night taking on Iran in their second group stage match. So I look at this opening line, Thomas. I saw it was USA -38. Yeah, just your classic 38-point spread. Total of 164.5. How have things gone since you guys opened that number at that high 38 mark?
Yeah, so good afternoon, guys. It's only increased here. U.S. now currently 42-point favorites. So a huge number to lay there if you want to take the United States. Obviously no money line there with that huge spread of 42. But Iran, going back to their first game, now obviously they lost to the Czech Republic in their opening game, 84-78. That was a game they were down by 21 points in the fourth quarter at one point. They went into that as 16.5-point underdogs. Only took a six-point loss there. You've seen the big move here already, 4 points. It's moved towards the U.S. I think the one thing we can't do is overreact here for U.S. basketball. We've seen some adjustments there in their gold medal odds. We opened them up as -350 to win the gold. They're now down to 250 here to win the gold. And the two teams that we've been getting some decent action on is Australia and Spain in that market.
You know, Thomas, when you look at Spain, I think that when they play Japan today or tomorrow, and Australia plays Nigeria. So, you know, they play Italy. They play Italy. They play the boys over in Italy.
Yes.
So we'll see how that works out. But I still think it's a little short price. I was reading today, this morning before the show, Damon Lillard comments about how the international players play so different for their home countries than they do in the NBA, which I found fascinating that he would make that comment. And it's obviously noticeable to him. But do you get the sense that they can still win the gold here, or do you think that they're going to place bronze or silver as they go along? You just think they just don't have a cohesive team?
No, I think that the talent level on the United States team is well beyond anyone else. So I do think they're certainly the rightful favorite. And, you know, again, I think this is a good price right now, -250 to get the gold for the United States. It's come down there after that opening loss. But, I don't think, as a bettor, you should really be overreacting to that. I know they had the two losses in the friendlies there, and that the big deal was made about that. Now this opening loss. So I think this is kind of a good price now to jump on the USA here to win the gold.
Again, Thomas Gable joining us, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata. And I guess quickly, we were just talking NBA draft, Thomas. We can kind of look ahead to that as well. What do you expect? I don't know if any big bets have come in yet. Mike was just giving us his thoughts and what he's hearing around the league. What do you expect as far as the handle and any big movers potentially as we get ready for the draft on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, the NBA draft, it certainly does not compare anywhere close to the NFL draft in terms of betting handle and interest. Certainly for the first overall pick in the draft, we have Kate Cunningham -5,000. I mean, that's a really expensive price. Not many people are going to want to lay. So you look to different draft positions. The over-under on draft positions is really where I think you'll see most of the action show up here. So you can get James Bouknight, I think, is the one that I was looking at earlier today. We have him at 7.5 right now. Juice to the under, -120 to the under. But some of these other players that you're kind of looking at and mapping out and where they fit. But again, in terms of how this is bet and the number of props available, nothing compared to what you see typically for the NFL draft.
Yeah, Thomas, I mean, the one thing about the NFL draft, they all talk about, well, you know, we're going to take the best player available. In the NBA, it's not about them, it's how he fits on our team. I think there's no denying that. So it's so hard to predict, but I do think there's a couple players, you know, that shine and we keep reading about, you know, Davion Mitchell might be going lower, but there's a lot of teams that seem to like him. And then how does it all fit within their team? Plus, I hate the fact, it drives me crazy, that they can't tell you the trades beforehand. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, do we have to keep the hats off the guys and give them fake hats? I mean, I don't understand it. So it drives me crazy. You lose interest in it because you just don't even know. I mean, I'm still expecting Mikal Bridges to play for the Sixers. And, oh, by the way, we traded his hat to the Phoenix Suns. Thanks very much. So, you know, I know there was a couple baseball games you want to get into today, so fire away with us.
No. Whatever you guys want to get into is fine. It's just you're right, though, on the draft there. And I think that plays into the handle and what you see betting interest-wise, too, all the points that you brought up there.
Yeah, what is the latest, though, on the MLB card, Thomas? A smaller card that will have the doubleheader starting on the East Coast, Mets and Braves, just after 2 o'clock on the East Coast. What have been the big moves you've seen so far getting ready for the current day in sports betting?
Yeah, as you mentioned, that's the first game of the day there, that seven-inning doubleheader, game one. Mets with Stroman starting. $1.45 favorites here against the Braves. Big NL East matchup. Again, the Braves, they are now 5 games back, so big series here for them. If they can kind of keep pace here, stay in the race with the Mets, 2 big games today. And then obviously you have the other two teams there in the NL East going as well tonight. Nationals and the Phillies start their series. Phillies, very small favorite, laying $1.10 here at the moment with Howard starting for the Phillies.
Again, he is Thomas Gable, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Borgata there on the East Coast. Thomas, thank you as always for the time. I'm sure we will catch up soon. Going to be a very fun, busy week here in the sports betting world.
All right. Thanks,
thank you,
guys.
Thomas.
Appreciate it.
All right. When we return, we just talked at the start of the show about the Green Bay Packers. Michael's thoughts on them with the news and rumors flying around about Aaron Rodgers. Well, there's a new team, at least at one shop in town, that is favored. What does Michael think about the Minnesota Vikings? Should they be the rightful favorites in the NFC North? We'll get into that next right here on the Lombardi Line. $10 free bet will automatically be added to your account when you place a total of $50 in wagers between Monday and Sunday. That's right, you wake up to a $10 free bet every Monday just for betting $50 during the previous 7 days. Get rewarded for your bets every week at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, and 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789. Money Monday Club, not available in Nevada. We're back. Lombardi Line, final segment of our first hour. Getting you started on this Monday, back with Michael Lombardi in his East Coast studios. I'm Ben Wilson from our South Point Sportsbook studio here in Las Vegas. We open the show, Michael, talking about the Green Bay Packers and the state of affairs in the NFC North, with most books taking odds off the board as we wait to see all the rumors flying around what will happen, if anything happens this week with the Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay. But what was interesting was that, as we mentioned earlier, one of the books in town, Circa, still kept up NFC North odds and put the Minnesota Vikings at plus 190, the favorites now to win the, I should say, plus 125, Packers to plus 190 to win the NFC North. So an interesting season last year, as we know, for the Vikings, who really could not have set up any worse in a COVID-shortened season, having so many young players, rookies, trying to integrate into a defensive system that ended up having all sorts of issues under Mike Zimmer. Already been kind of an interesting offseason for them. I mean, even just this weekend, Michael, Rick Dennison fired as their O-line coach, refusing to get the vaccine. So he is not going to be a part. And obviously, that's a very small element to the team, but still not something you expect going into a year. One of your positional coaches is fired in July. They did just trade for D.D. Westbrook, sign him over the weekend, adding some depth to the wide receiver core. But certainly, I think, Michael, the biggest question here is how will the defense be able to bounce back this season under Mike Zimmer? How do you assess things on that side of the ball for Minnesota as we get ready for their camp to open this week?
Well, I mean, two things are happening if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in Green Bay. Kirk Cousins becomes the best quarterback in the North. I mean, I think that's fairly easy to say, right? He's by far the best quarterback in the North. And then secondly, Mike Zimmer's the best coach in the North. So you got those two things. You got the best coach, best quarterback. Those are pretty good starting points. And last year, you know, they gave up 475 points, way too much. They gave up 4.6 yards per carry. They couldn't stop the run. They were giving up points left and right. Tampa, you know, the Chicago Bears put 33 on them last year. at the end of the season. I mean, the Saints put 52 on them. So, you know, they barely squeaked out the last game to get their seventh win by outscoring that powerful Detroit Lions attack 37-35 with backup quarterbacks for the Lions. So, to me, Mike Zimmer knows this is a real rebuilding effort. And I think he started the right way by getting Dalvin Tomlinson in there to go along with Michael Pierce, assuming he'll come back from the calf injury that starts camp. Gets two big fellas inside to help that inside run defense, something he didn't have last year. Then he gets Sheldon Richardson to give him some nickel pressure to go along with a veteran secondary, to go also with Paul Gunther, who was fired as the Raiders defensive coordinator. Then he comes back to Mike Zimmer. They were together in Cincinnati, had a lot of success in Cincinnati working together. I think they'll have better communication. I think they'll play better defense. And I think they'll be a better all-around team, especially that they get Danielle Hunter back, and they're not going to rely on so many young players without a training camp, without an offseason. As for Dennison, look, I think Rick Dennison, everybody, his nickname's Rico, you know, I think he was towards the end of his career. I think he decided to retire. You know, maybe he didn't want to get the shot. Retirement comes into play. I can't imagine that the Vikings were surprised by this, because the one thing you've known through the offseason, coaches that weren't getting the vaccination couldn't come in the office then either. So at least you could prepare for this. I think that run game will be strong. I think their offense is good. Their offense is really good.
You think about it, too, just as we've started to look at some of the preseason positional rankings for a lot of these teams. I know, you know, the guys at Sharp Football, they've ranked the Vikings O-line at about 21st out of the 32 teams in the NFL. They certainly, well, I think a lot of people assume, Michael, they would go look to defense early in the draft maybe again. Well, they went with Christian Darrisaw in their first draft pick, and then second draft pick was Kellen Mond, the presumable eventual replacement to Kirk Cousins at quarterback. So thinking about the O-line and thinking about, too, the success Minnesota had was when they were, A, last year able to keep teams off the field, which happened, you know, few and far between, and then also control the time of possession, get Dalvin Cook and the running game established. How do you assess where this O-line is at? And do you think that the O-line is going to kind of be a catalyst here for the Vikings offensively, given the strengths that they have with Cousins at quarterback, strong wide receiving tandem, and Dalvin Cook as your running back as well?
You know, I think it's the key for their offense. It's been the Achilles heel of their offense. I mean, when they played the Packers, when the Packers had their two outside Smith brothers rushing well, you know, it was really a problem for the Minnesota tackles. And that really became a problem for Kirk Cousins, because Cousins is a guy you've got to keep upright. You don't want to get him hit early in the game. And last year, what I think really hurt Minnesota more than anything is Mike Zimmer's defense allowed 39.5% conversion on third down. Mike Zimmer, typically, his defenses are always in the top five on third down defense because of so much of the exotic blitzes, the odd floaters, how he attacks the protection of his opponent. And last year, he couldn't do that. He didn't have experience. Now, look, Patrick Peterson's not a great player any longer. We know this, right? He led the league in defensive holding calls or DPIs. I mean, passing interference calls, anything related to that, Patrick Peterson was in the top. He grabbed too much. He trailed too much. He knew he couldn't run. But he goes to Minnesota on a one-year deal. And as much as I thought he didn't play well, I think Zimmer will get him to play well, because Zimmer understands his limitations. He'll do specific things that Peterson can still effectively do, and I think he'll make him a better player. They're not going to put him out on an island and say, you're one-on-one, go ahead, good luck. They're going to do some mixed coverage in there, something they've done with Terrence Newman, and they've done it with all their corners. And the way they confuse the opposing quarterback makes this a hard defense when they have veteran guys who can make an adjustment, which they have finally this year.
And we've certainly talked about how, at least from a future standpoint, you know, you look at team-wide division odds, conference odds, it can be, I think it's irresponsible right now, just when you don't know where things will shake out, if you have Aaron Rodgers in the division, if you don't have him, and so, like, why would you blindly go and make a bet? But at the same time, what you can do, Michael, is look at some of these team-specific props that obviously are not solely dependent on other teams in the division. Certainly, you know, the way the schedule breaks down will have a little bit of an impact on that when you think about, like, passing yards for Kirk Cousins, rushing yards for Dalvin Cook, but the one, and you've talked about the potential for a bounce back this season for Mike Zimmer at the helm. The first thing that jumps out to me with that is when you look at the coach of the year odds, and he is of the NFC coaches. He and Matt Nagy, the two short shots, 25-1, both of them. Matt LaFleur, 30-1. Dan Campbell at 50-1. I don't think, Michael, you're going to be putting any of your money on either of those latter two guys I just mentioned for sure.
Are you putting any money on Matt Nagy? Ben, it's not my opinion on this show that counts as much. You too now. You putting any money on Matt Nagy? I want to know.
Has he
dazzled you with his play call since he's been in Chicago? I'd love to know this. I mean, am I the only one?
Look, there is zero chance I'm putting any money close to Matt Nagy as well at 25-1, and which leaves us Mike Zimmer. And you know, part of this too is just a narrative. And when you're betting awards like this, it's so much of the all right. How do you think the media is going to react and sort of have the perception of this stuff throughout the course of the season? And so when you're looking to bet this, it's probably got to be right. Okay, team that missed the playoffs the previous season, struggled with a lot of areas, was young, and all of a sudden they make a big leap the following season. Well, doesn't Mike Zimmer kind of fit that bill? Like, if you're of the mind that the Vikings will get the offensive line shored up, the defense will be better, which if we're being real, like, it's hard for the defense to be much worse than it was in 2020. If you believe those things, do you think, Michael, like a 25-1 play is probably more fruitful than saying, oh, let me just take a shot at Minnesota now at plus 125 to win the division when we have literally no idea at this point, just all the rumor and conjecture flying around what the other quarterback situation will be in Green Bay?
Well, we know this. Whoever wins Coach of the Year, it's a team that didn't make the playoffs the year before that has a resurgence. And if Minnesota's the favorite to win the North, if Rodgers isn't there and they play better defense, which I believe they will, I think you got to take a look at Zimmer as the Coach of the Year. Now, obviously, there'll be other coaches to consider, what Sean McVay does at the Rams, what Kyle Shanahan does at the 49ers with the young quarterback, you know. Certainly, you know, in the South, what happens there with, you know, say the Saints have a great year and Sean Payton develops Jameis Winston into this incredible, he's liable to win it. So, you know, I think you have to play the odds. Will Bruce Arians win it? No, I don't think that'll happen. You know, will Ron Rivera win it if the Washington football team just barely gets to the playoffs? I doubt that as well, especially when the expectations are as high. Minnesota's expectations aren't that high. I think they're going to be a good football team. I think they've solidified their run defense. We know they can run the football effectively. They almost average 5 yards a carry with Dalvin Cook. They're really effective. If they can play less defense and get off the field on third down, which I believe they will, I think I like them.
And you think, too, we just flashed the top page of our NFL Coach of the Year odds. We'll do that again here right now where Kevin Stefanski comes in. He's your odds-on favorite, Sean McVay, 14-1. And it's funny because you mentioned it, Michael, and I completely agree with you. This award is not really going to go to somebody who was just in the playoffs a season ago. So the top two guys on that were guys that were each had their teams in the playoffs last year. Kyle Shanahan, it makes sense that he would be up there as well at 16-1 with a lot of thought that this will be a resurgent year for the San Francisco 49ers, but you know, you look at like Andy Reid. Okay, I mean, can we really expect him to get that award when the Chiefs have been so good so consistently? Like, I would personally probably make Brian Flores the favorite only because I think Miami, I think he's shown a lot so far. And I think Miami, there's a case to be made for them making a big push up and making the playoffs this year. Just from that top of the board and Michael, that first page, what jumps out to you? Obviously, we just talked about the Zimmer aspect here at 25-1, but of these top guys, what's the first place you're looking at?
Well, I mean, if Flores gets Tua to play well, which I have strong doubts about that, at 16-1, and he wins there, and they start to take a step forward, he certainly would be a candidate. I just don't see Tua being able to do that, so that's where I kind of have a little bit of a concern. I think Arthur Smith would be a good play. I don't think the Falcons are as bad as they were last year. I think they'll be better with Dean Pease on defense. They're not great defensively, but they're good offensively. They got a bunch of number one picks in their offensive line. They will run the football. Mike Davis is a good back. They will try to run the ball. They don't have Todd Gurley this year. I mean, that was a joke to sign Todd Gurley last year. I mean, that was never going to work out. And so I think they'll be improved in that area. And I think Arthur Smith could benefit from that.
And as rookie head coaches go, usually you don't see it. But as you point out, a lot of pieces for him as he starts to take over there in Atlanta. We still have a lot to get to as far as the NFC North. We'll get a couple thoughts from Michael on some player props in our second hour when we return. Also, some other news and notes from around the NFL. Joe Burrow, what's his status going to be coming into training camp? We have some more news on that we'll get to as we return. Second hour coming your way next right here on the Lombardi Line.